Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom goyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Ches B'Chodesh Kislev, Parashas Vayetzer, Tavshin Pei, 5780, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 5 December 2019, webcasting from Israel, where I live, but not for a millisecond have I stopped being an American. The Israel-American bond is unique. The evangelicals figured that out. Nations that bless the Jews, not abuse us, are blessed. Those who abuse us suffer. Think of the oddity of the world's greatest power, greatest ever seen, uniquely embracing and protecting Israel. When judging by the voting in the UN that I researched, the family of nations, lots of nations, hate us. Just about all nations are on record being hostile to Israel. One might think that the American Empire could have been like the Roman or the Greek or the Spanish or the Persian empires and abused us terribly. No, America's unique in siding with Israel. And as a history buff, I know the roots of America's connections to the Jewish people that arguably began the moment Christopher Columbus stepped ashore, accompanied by a converted Jew in the hope that the locals they espied and who greeted them were the 10 lost tribes. And in fact, Columbus was not, as they taught me, on a quest for a new route to the Far East for its spices. He sold his plan to Ferdinand and Isabella as a military mission in which he would find on the other side of the world and recruit the 10 lost tribes of the Jews and turn them into an army to help him attack Islam-ruled Jerusalem to drive out the Muslims and herald, since they were all Catholics, the Second Coming. 2 centuries later, that's 399 years ago this fall, the first English pilgrims, a religious term, came ashore at Massachusetts Bay, whose religious study time focused on learning Hebrew in order to read the Old Testament in the original language, in order to create a community modeled on what they read. They were Christians and surely were inspired by the New Testament and its spirituality, but that volume does not contain what the Hebrew Bible contains regarding the nuts and bolts of a good society. You know, laws governing the use of the land, agriculture, animal husbandry, the need for judges, courts of law and police, laws governing sexual relations, animal anatomy. What isn't in the Torah? After 16 years, the Plymouth colony, whose leaders were their religious leaders, supported John Harvard in establishing a seminary for future religious ministers, where all the students had to study every year Hebrew. And after 4 years, the best student in the graduating class would deliver a sermon in biblical Hebrew. And this was the custom at Harvard for 150 years until after the American Revolution. In that revolutionary time, the students rebelled and the practice was done away with in favor of the valedictorian speaking in English. Most of today's elite Ivy League universities in the States began as seminaries for the clergy, and the course everywhere venerated Hebrew. So it's simply not so. Anti-Jews like Ilhan Omar believe that America supports Israel only because of Jewish money. The attachment to the Jewish people in America began long before 1948. It began at Plymouth Rock. And Hebrew culture is woven into the fabric of American culture. George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, the first three presidents, all of them wrote favorably of the Jews. And the Jews served in the American Revolution and served as officers. When the Constitution was written in Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, and was finalized and became law, the people of Philadelphia celebrated with an outdoor mass picnic with a table of kosher food for the Jews who came to celebrate too. And so it's not so strange that events here and events in the States are so similar these days. Both leaders in both countries are hated for literally no damn good reason. That, by default, is probably rooted in some toxic envy of both Trump and Netanyahu. In both countries, the governmental judicial system has become tragically corrupt and are going after them. Israel's Nobel Prize-winning Israel Aumann opined to Israel Hayom newspaper that the third branch of government, the judiciary, has taken over the country, the state. His opening quote was, "I am boiling," meaning with rage, I'm steamed. He said that they do whatever they want. In Arab lands and South American revolutions, the generals emerge. Here, the coup d'etat comes from the legal system. And I say we saw that on display in the States yesterday, in that phony baloney impeachment proceeding. Really, the Saul Alinsky strategy of the Democrats in Congress, who use the word impeachment to sling mud at Donald Trump. They're not comatose, and they know that even if they write articles of impeachment, however stupid or smart, they will be voted down in the Senate. They know this. Therefore, all they're doing is slinging mud, accusations, allegations, opinions in order to diminish him in people's eyes. Yesterday, Jerry Nadler and his committee listened to four professors of law, not lawyers who make a living in actually practicing law. These experts opined that President Trump committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and by implication, this deplorable man must be removed from office. And I was particularly revolted by the words of professor at Harvard Law, Noah Feldman, though they did reinforce my previous opinion of him as a lowlife in a three-piece suit. He attended the Maimonides School in Brookline, outside of Boston, for the modern Orthodox, and then went on to marry a Gentile and to defend what he did in public, disagreeing with thousands of years of Jewish history and wisdom. This week we will read of Jacob leaving this country, where I live, for the East to find a wife from his grandfather Abraham's community, which community was on a much higher level of culture than the local Canaanites. His twin brother, Esav, like Noah Feldman, married out, and his mother and father did not want that for him. Feldman also made himself, in his career, knowledgeable about Sharia law, and whenever he wrote of it, he wrote favorably. You got that. Sharia is rooted in the Quran, which is an anti-Semitic tract that he respects. And there he was yesterday, channeling the mind of George Washington and reporting that Washington would most certainly view Trump's behavior as fitting the Constitution's concept of high crimes and misdemeanors. Methinks Noah Feldman has a problem with his Jewish identity, and it is no coincidence that there he was bashing the most pro-Israel president ever. The corruption in the deep state in the States, in the Departments of Justice, the FBI, and in Israel, as Professor Alman said, is distressing. Quote, "What is happening here is anti-democratic and negates every principle of the separation of powers." Professor Alman, by the way, a native of Germany, came to the States in his teen years, I think, during the war, and spent, I don't know, 20 years or so being an American academic, and then moved to Israel, where he won the Nobel Prize in Economics for his game theory. He said, quote, "What is happening here is a continuation of the judicial revolution that began in the 1990s, and the judicial system is daring to trespass every boundary of authority." As I have fetched to you, there's something wrong in a system in which one yo-yo like Avichai Mandelblit has such power. He, quote from him, "Where have we ever heard of such a thing? Not only does he make himself the only interpreter of law, he is also changing the law. These judicial types see themselves as legislators." Close quote. He then criticized Netanyahu for doing nothing in his years in office about reforming the Jewish judicial system, and hypothesized that Bibi was afraid of the system and what they could do to him. And now that his political agenda is not theirs, they're going after him, close quote. He called the board currently authorized to appoint judges a junta, quote, "Whoever heard of such a thing? Judges sitting on a board appointing judges? We are like India in this regard, and we too are unique in this. In the world." And in a related news item, the same NGO here, Im Tirtzu, if you want it, has launched a campaign entitled, quote, "Saving Israeli Democracy, : Restoring Trust in the Justice System," close quote, and doing so in reaction to the endless flood of leaks and witness coercion. The campaign will also call for an investigation into the legal aggression against Netanyahu, The CEO of Im Tirtzu, Matan Pelek, said, quote, all the important decisions over the past 20 years were not made by elected officials, but a group of judges and legal advisors whose worldview represents a small minority of the republic. We call on the nation to join us and stand up for democracy and the future of Israel, close quote. Well, I'll drink to that.
הגשם חלף על החלוק. כי הנה הסתיו עבר. הגשם חלף על החלוק. לא, 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 לא. לא, 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 לא. חלף על החלום. כמו עץ בודד שנשרו עליו, אחד אחד התפזרו פירותיו. ועכשיו מי שעבר סתיו, הגשמים ירדו והנה התמלאו כל שורשיו. אביו שלח לך אותותיו. כי הנה הסתיו עבר. הגשם חלף על החלוק. לא, 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 לא. לא, 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 לא. חלף על החלוק. לא יעזור, לא כסף, לא זהב. תחושה שכל מאמציך לשווא. טוב עשית, נחת למצב, והנה הלב שם ופותח שערה. האביב שלח לך מכתב. כי הנה הסתיו עבר. הגשם חלף על החלום. לא, 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 לא. לא, 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 לא. חלף על החלום. וכשתצא ותקשיב לשמיים, מספיק לנדוד אומרות הציפורים. מביט בחלום בשעת צהריים, הירוק הזה מטריף לי את החושים. בצד הסמטה סוגר את העיניים, שואף עמוק את ריח היסמין. שוב מעליך משק הכנפיים, מספיק לנדוד אומרות הציפורים. כי הנה הסתיו עבר. הגשם חלף על החלום. לא, 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 לא. לא, 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 לא. חלף על החלום.
So, on Tuesday's webcast of this week, I dilated on the latest maneuver anti-Jews have come up with, Jeremy Corbyn's apology for the unacceptable presence of anti-Semitic incidents in his party, but he was not queried on his demonic hatred of us Jews in Israel that we brought back to life. Well, today, JTA, Jewish Telegraph Agency, reported on the independent newspaper in London, allowing, quote, the influential Slovenian philosopher Slavoj Zizek, I don't know how to pronounce that, a self-avowed leftist, to opine in an op-ed. According to the title, quote, there is no conflict between the struggle against anti-Semitism and the struggle against Israeli occupation. The trouble with Jews today is that they are now trying to get roots in a place which for thousands of years was inhabited by other people, close quote. This influential philosopher condemned the chief rabbi in Britain, Rabbi Ephraim Miovis, who last month, remember, warned about anti-Semitism in the Labour Party, that this influential philosopher called, quote, ethically disgusting. He said, I, of course, indisputably reject anti-Semitism in all its forms, close quote. And there you have my thoughts of 2 days ago. Such an influential philosopher, of course, rejects anti-Semitism in all its forms, which does not include the struggle against Jews in illegal occupation of another's land. Well, he may be an influential philosopher and avowed leftist in Europe, and therefore anti-Jews. All leftists are anti-Jew. He's still no historian. He's an ignoramus about the history of this promised land over the last 2,000 years, during which all reports by visitors described it as desolate. And, of course, not one wrote one word about this other people he has in mind, presumably the ancient ones. This ignoramus has swallowed, like a communion wafer, the fantasy of a Palestine inhabited by Palestinians only, no Jews it to be seen. This is nothing but anti-Jew myth that Jew haters like him in our time cling to like babies cling to their security blankets. This behavior was also apparent in the response to the good news from France this week that Parliament had resolved that anti-Zionism can be a form of anti-Semitism. In opposition, as Haaretz reported yesterday, 129 Jewish and Israeli scholars had signed a petition calling on the National Assembly there not to support that resolution. The text, they said, reduces Israel to a collective composed of Jewish citizens, thereby obliterating the Palestinian citizens of the country, as well as those Jews who hold anti-Zionist opinions. It reduces the Palestinian experience. For Palestinians, Zionism means dispossession, displacement, occupation, and structural inequality. It is cynical and insensitive to stigmatize them as anti-Semites for opposing Zionism. They oppose Zionism not because they hate Jews, but because they experience Zionism as an oppressive political movement. The resolution espouses an agenda prompted by Benjamin Netanyahu's government to label opposition to its policies as anti-Semitic in order to curb dissenting voices, close quote. They published this letter in, where else, Le Monde. Their letter objected to the resolution for portraying Israel as a monoculture of a Jewish state when there are ancient Palestinians who are citizens, not Jews. It is a multi-culti state, and by implication, though the letter did not say this, its flag and national anthem are racist. They complained that the resolution reduces, quote, reduces the Palestinian experience. And there you have it. The subtitle of my book, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace. Much of my book covers the decades in which the PLO refused to respect Resolution 242 of November 1967 because it said nothing of a Palestinian people. The verbal hologram of the Palestinian people took hold after Resolution 242 not only did not mention any Palestinians, but called on the belligerent Arab states of the previous June who went to war against Israel to make peace. What the invention of the Palestinians did was to allow the belligerent Arab states to hide behind the verbal hologram and insist the Palestinians are the principal victims of Zionism whose rights must be addressed before the Arab states make peace. And so today, in this letter by these 129 Jewish intellectuals, one can hear their whining that the Palestinians are the prime victims of an Israel that will not respect their right to a state here, which is nothing but the reversal of the Arab-Israeli conflict, which is about the Arabs refusing to respect the Jewish people's right to a state in this country. These academics are simply Jewish turncoats who identify with the Muslims, and they're basically psychological warfare, inventing out of thin air, out of water pipe smoke, a counter-nation to the Jewish nation with the identical right to an independent state here. These Jews are like political transgenders identifying with this generation's principal Jew haters, the Muslims. In the 1950s, both Iran and Turkey had peaceful and respectful relations with the state of Israel. And so the Arab-Israeli conflict was the description of the concept. Today, the anti-Jew hides behind the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that is a plagiarized version of the former conflict in which the Jews were the victims of those who rejected their right to a state. Then in the 1970s, the tables were turned, and Israel became guilty of that very same crime against the Palestinians. Think of Obama, Brennan, Hillary and company accusing Trump of being a Russian agent when they were the Russian agents. This is the same psychological technique. And this is why I wrote the book that I did, because it is a lie. This Palestinian people with national rights to a state that is at the malignant core of Jew hatred in our time. With deleterious effects all over the place, not only does it legitimize in anti-Jew minds around the world their murderous hatred for us, it weakens the people of Israel, whose academics are as anti-Israel as the Goyim elsewhere. It contributes to the pathology of Israel, supporting the people in Gaza, who fire rockets into our homes. Israelis think they owe these people something.
השם אלוקיך, לא יהיה לך אלוהים אחרים על פניי. כבד את אביך ואת אמך, ואל תלך עקום, זה לא כדאי. ששת ימים תעוף עם הדמיון שלך, ותבנה ארמונות שביעי, הוא רק שלי ורק שלך. אז תבוא אליי, עזוב הכל, שמע ישראל.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yes, the invention of the Palestinians has weakened Israel's original guiltless Zionist spirit. Think of the leftists who led the yeshuv of the Jewish community here into independence in 1948, a generation immortalized and glorified in Leon Uris's novel Exodus. Think of them feeling guilty about believing in their right to all of the land west of the Jordan River. Never happened. There was no West Bank in 1948 in any human brain. There was likely not one Zionist. All the factions who did not believe in the right to all the land of Judea and Samaria and land today called the Gaza Strip. Today, though, their grandchildren and great-grandchildren believe there's a Palestinian people with rights, if not to a state, then something. That influential Slovenian philosopher, that ignoramus, clearly has no true history in his head, and likewise even the well-intended and patriotic contemporary Israeli Jew can be like that. For example, on Sunday, as reported, the hawkish defense minister here, Naftali Bennett, said he's going to double the number of Jews in Hebron, and how the conservative Judaism website, Times of Israel website, covered this story. Here was the headline, quote, Naftali Bennett praised by right, slammed by left over move to double number of Jews in Flashpoint, West Bank City, close quote. It referred to the roughly 1,000 Jewish settlers living there and the 250,000 Palestinians. Jewish settlers, why not just Israelis? Why call them settlers? If an American moves his place of residence from, I don't know, Boston to Chicago, no one calls him a settler. The Times of Israel coverage also included this gem of a sentence, quote, Hebron has been the scene of numerous stabbing and other violent incidents between Palestinians and Israelis in recent years, close quote. Are we to understand that Israelis also engage in stabbing Palestinians in the back? The text continues, quote, Hebron differs from other Arab West Bank cities in that it is home to a Jewish community and about 20% of the city, close quote, which is really dishonest. Yes, the area the IDF patrols for security reasons is roughly that size and probably less than that, but for argument's sake, call it 20%. But that's not to be confused with an area of the Jewish community, which is like, I don't know, 0.0025% of Hebron, the area streets close to the Cave of the Patriarchs, which is a true modern contemporary Jewish ghetto that the Jews dare not live outside of. Do a Google search for a map of Hebron, Israel, and see for yourself. The Jewish community is barely a speck on this map. The Times of Israel website also quoted this, quote, Palestinian Authority senior negotiator, Saeb Arakat, blamed Bennett's move on the recent U.S. announcement that it no longer views settlements as, quote, inconsistent with international law, close quote. And I ask, what does this terrorist murderer, this ignoramus, who believes we've never had any temples on Haram al-Sheikh, what does he know of international law? There are no greater violators of civilized international law than anti-Semitic murderers like him and his Fatah cultists. Notice, too, how the invention of the Palestinians later in 1993 of the Palestinian Authority has a role to play here. Fatah became an authority whose senior negotiator here has a distinguished position, Saeb Arakat, Dr. Arakat. We live in a world of lies. Alma Dushika, the invention of the Palestinians and the fake history of the Palestinians being a people in residence here for thousands of years has also weakened drastically Israel's ability to think clearly and realistically about our situation, which has led to its pathological malignant relationship to the Gaza zone and its Muslims, whom Israel helps to build weapons to fire into our homes. Gaza is occupied Jewish land that Israel has every right to, and an owner's right to evict people squatting on it. But Israel, secular Zionist Israel, built by post-religious Jews, who thought they could put an end to anti-Semitism by pleasing the anti-Semites, does know how to deal with this situation. It is politically incorrect in our time not to show concern for the victims of our Zionism. So contemporary post-religious Israelis, and even too many who are religious, are incapable of fighting for our rights in the face of an influential European philosopher who believes, like millions of others, this land used to belong to the indigenous nation now victimized by the victims of Hitler. So, along with Jeremy Corbyn, we can all say it's right and just to hate the Jews today as in the good old days.
אתה תצליח, אין לי שום ספק. אתה תצליח עוד הרבה יותר. עוד תגדל לאילן נאה מאוד, עם פירות טובים ומתוקים. אתה תצליח בעזרת השם. אתה תשיר עוד שירי הלל, עוד תשמח ותשמח חברים, עם דיבורים ומעשים טובים. אתה תצליח, אתה חשוב, אתה תצליח, אתה אהוב, אתה תצליח, בוודאי תצליח, בעזרת השם. אני רואה את הטוב שלך, את הנקודה היקרה שבך. איתה תאיר את החושך באור נפלא, כי תכלית הירידה היא עלייה. אתה תצליח, אתה חשוב, אתה תצליח, אתה אהוב, אתה תצליח, בוודאי תצליח, בעזרת השם. tai nai nai tai na 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 nai tai nai nai ta na 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 nai tai nai nai ta na 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 nai tai nai 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 nai
Okay, that's it for this week, this dreadful week of more playing games and politics, and I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Lelaila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yehuda.